In John chapter 1, verse 12, we have the right. And in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, we have the might. Here we have God's enabling. Many of us are between the two, you know. If you ask, yes, I know I'm born again. Yes, I'm saved. But oh, to live as a child of God, I find not. Now, those were the words of Hudson Taylor when he found himself there out in China. And he had gone out, how long was he out there? 4 years at the first stretch. And during those 4 years, he was in agony because he wasn't having victory. Hudson Taylor, the missionary. And he wrote a letter to his sister during that time. And he said, I have diligently sought to increase my devotions. I have exerted myself in all the means of grace that is at my disposal. I've increased my devotions. I have prayed more. I have read more. But it eludes me to walk with God. And he said eventually, McCarthy, one of the missionaries there, he saw it first. He was writing to his sister. He said, he saw it first. He saw the perfect rest in Jesus. And when he saw this, Hudson Taylor wrote to McCarthy, and he too saw the rest in Jesus. Hudson Taylor's great story of this is the rest of Christ. He spoke of the rest, the life of rest. And Hudson Taylor met the missionaries at a conference just after that, and McCarthy was with him. And as he walked, meeting the missionaries at the quayside as they came in by ship, McCarthy said, all he could say as he walked up and down meeting those missionaries, he said to me, as soon as he had met them, he turned around and said to me, McCarthy, I'm a new man. McCarthy, I'm a new man. His eyes had opened. He was seeing with new eyes. He'd had the encouraging word, you shall receive power. And at last he had seen how it can be. He said, I know it is in Jesus, but how can I get it out? And then he said, I found that it was to rest in Jesus. So here he was battling on the mission field, battling with the struggles of internal conflict, a civil war in his own heart. But now Jesus comes to these disciples and he says, you shall receive power. It's an authority and it's an ability at the same time. They have, many of the great soul winners have come this way, recognizing that they cannot continue until God possesses them fully and wholly. That, in essence, is the fullness of the Spirit. Possessed, holy, and completely controlled by God the Spirit. I remember a man called Skippers in South Africa. He was at a place called Williston ministering. And when he was ministering at this place, God was dealing with him. And as he was dealing with Skippers, eventually he said, I can stand it no longer. He's a minister of the gospel in this whole area. He said, I went into my room and I said, Lord, I'm not coming out of this study until you come to me and change me and possess me utterly and control me and fill me. I can't do the work without that. I'm working, but I'm working in the power of the flesh. I don't want to work in the power of the flesh. I want to work in the flow of the Spirit. God, come to me. He stayed there for 10 days. And when he came out, he said, there was no mighty demonstration, but I just knew in my heart, God said, go and preach it. He preached the mighty working of God's liberating Spirit all over that area. In fact, he left his pulpit and he went all over South Africa proclaiming. In fact, out of his ministry came a great denomination and it stands there today because the man met with God and God came to him and possessed him. You see, D.L. Moody, your own D.L. Moody, who, by the way, rescued Scotland under God. That's another story altogether, but I won't really go into that. He was nobody until he came to Scotland, by the way. He went to Liverpool for a week, and he'd given himself 6 weeks for Britain, and he went to Liverpool for a week, and he failed there, and he went to York for a week, and he failed there, and he came to Newcastle for a week, and he was it was just fizzling out. He said, oh, I'll go back to America. And he wasn't known at all. And then he received a delegation from Edinburgh. Would you come to the capital city, where I am now, would you come to the capital city and hold a campaign? Me? To these rigid, theologically educated Scots? They drink theology with their mother's milk. How can I speak to them? But he did. And in 3 weeks, 3,000 souls were saved in Edinburgh. Then he went to Dundee, had a week there. Then he went to Glasgow, and he didn't stay just another week or two, with dreadful wrenches that families were torn asunder with one church being formed and another church and fightings and in families. Suddenly, God used a man from another country altogether coming in, because there was a day when Moody came to know God in a remarkable way. You know the story, don't you? Moody, two ladies came to him in Chicago and said to him, Moody, we're praying for you that you might be filled with the Spirit. Me? Filled with the Spirit? I was the biggest congregation, I was the biggest Sunday school in Chicago. What do you pray for? Me? Pray for others. But they prayed for him. And when he was walking in New York after the fire in Chicago to collect money for to rebuild, suddenly God came to him. And God said, Moody, I want your life completely. And Moody sought out, he says, the room of a friend. And there in that room he sought God. And God came to him and possessed him and equipped him, so that afterwards he said, I preached the same sermons, but something happened. It's all about the man, isn't it? You shall receive power, the Holy Ghost coming upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me. Yes, how we need that touch. Have we shut ourselves away? Preacher, I'm talking to you. Are you in the place where God can pour his Spirit through you? Sunday school teacher, I'm talking to you. Others who are involved in the work of God, I'm talking to you. We're all involved in the work of God, aren't you? So we all need the touch of God, the equipping of God, the unction of the Holy Ghost upon our lives, so that when we speak, the words sink in and they have effect, because the Holy Ghost says amen to what I've just said, and the word is driven home. How absolutely essential it is for us all to come to that state where God possesses us and fills us to the uttermost. So there's a proposition to encourage us and to equip us and to enable us. Notice not only the power and the proposition, but notice the purpose. Here in the 8th verse, ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me. Ye shall be witnesses unto me. That's what he's wanting. You're going to be a witness. Notice what it says. Did you hear what I read? You will be a witness. That's what it says. Not only with my lips, but with my life. So when I drop a brick on my toe, and a whole lot of curses don't come out of my mouth, they look at me in amazement. Something has happened. And when things go wrong in the office and in the workplace, and strangely I'm in peace, and strangely I'm kept able to cope in impossible situations, I'm being a witness. Daniel Steele, Boston University, Greek scholar, he said, in the last 10 years, my family life has gone down considerably. I have been in great trouble. And the worse it has become, God has kept me. He said, the storms may rack the surface. In the last 10 years, they've done that to me. But nothing touches the water in the deep well. Brother Lawrence, that 13th century kitchen servant, said this, when I am in my kitchen with 20 people calling to me at the same time, I possess God in as great a tranquility as when I am on my knees. Now that's some victory. But here is God holding us now. We are being witnesses. Wherever we go in our life, wherever we are moving, so they observe and they see that this here is a witness for Christ. I'm empowered to do it. There's power to cope. Power to see me through the difficult times. Power to enable me to live in victory in impossible situations. I walked in doing some work amongst some of the folk on the Cape Flats, mainly of mixed blood, colored folk there. They speak a language, both English and Afrikaans. And I was doing some work amongst these dear people, some of them fantastic Christian witnesses there. And we were working in a large house, and there were several families there, and all kinds of sin. I mean, you could smell the place far away before you got anywhere near it. All kinds of drink, and every sin under the sun was going on in that house. We went into that house, and we held a meeting in that house. One day, we went into that house, and of course, how they opened the door to us, I do not know. But nevertheless, we did. We got in there. One day, we were talking to some of those people, and we heard someone pray in the other side. And my co-worker slipped through, and he found a young man kneeling, pouring out his heart to God, in the midst of all the sin and degradation and depravity there in that house. And he prayed with him. And eventually, at the end of the prayer, he said to him, where do you live? He said, I live here. In this room. Yes, in this room. And all kinds of sin going on all right through the night, right next to me. Yes, yes. But God's keeping me. All kinds of immorality, all kinds of sin, here, everywhere. But God's keeping me. My word. God, the power of God to be witnesses. To be witnesses. So, not only are we to be witnesses, the outstanding characteristic of Jesus Christ is that He, as I said today, He did no sin, in Him is no sin, He is without sin, and He knew no sin. There is Jesus, the one who he says, we are to be witnesses unto me. You are to be witnesses unto me. Now we are to be witnesses unto Him, the pure, holy Son of God. So here is power to enable me to be a witness unto the Holy Son of God. Here is power to enable me to live a holy life. See? Because I'm going to be a witness unto the Holy Son of God. You're going to be a witness unto me. This is power to live right, brethren. Power to live right. And then he goes on, you see, he says, you're going to be witnesses unto me. Not necessarily to a doctrine. Sometimes I've heard testimonies to doctrine, and I know what he's going to say next because I've also read the book. I also read the book. So he's going to say it. He's going to say it, go down the doctrinal line. No. This is a witness to the living, loving Lord Jesus Christ. He who is a person living, loving to me. I love him and he loves me. And he fills my life completely. And I am in love with him. He speaks to me. I speak to him. There is communion. And it is sweet to have fellowship with him. And as we fellowship together, so this witness is extended. His life is seen through me. I am being witness to that holy Son of God. A witness unto him.
So it's
not only not a witness to doctrine, and it's not a witness to experience either. Because sometimes we can go back and say, oh, well, I was saved 20 years ago or 30 years ago, and we can depend upon that, and we can show that. That is a great time when we came to know the Lord and so on. We can go back to that, and we can depend upon that. No, it's not to an experience. Thank God for experiences. I can take you to various places where I've had marvelous experiences with God. One day, I was going flying down the highway, and I said to my wife, you see, under that tree, that's where it happened, where God mightily blessed me. I was coming back, I was a young agricultural student, and I was coming back, and as I was walking back, having sought God at the altar there at the church, and my word, I came back, and there, as I walked along this little strip of a dusty road, there I came, fell down on my knees in the thick dust, I suppose 3 or 4 inches of dust at the side of the road. There I fell, and there I sought God. God came upon me with mighty power, mighty waves of mighty blessing. That was one experience. There were many others. As you go along the way of life, so God meets with you, and so God gives you experiences. And thank God for them, and we can testify to them. But that's not the main testimony. The main testimony is to Jesus, He who saves me, and who saved me, and who saves me now, who gives me His life, who enables me to live victoriously now, here. That's the thing that is important. So it's not to an experience, and it's not to a doctrine, but it's to a living, loving person who is a holy, living, loving person. And I am witnessing to Him because His life is flowing through me. You shall receive power to be enabled to do that. It's the power of God which comes upon you and possesses you and controls you. That's the power of the Holy Ghost, enabling me in the most difficult circumstances to be the witness unto Him, the living, loving Savior. His life flowing through. His influence extending through this insignificant vessel. God is pouring Himself through and through and through. It flows out. We don't know where it will end. So here we have the outcome, the purpose, on and on with this witness, this great witness. The power, ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. So here is the proclamation and the program. Not only the purpose to be witnesses practically, but to the program here. It's first of all to Jerusalem. Just imagine them standing there. These people standing, Peter and James. We, witnesses in Jerusalem. Yes, Peter. You, James. You, David. You, Joe. You're going to be witnesses. Me, be witnesses in Jerusalem? No, not Jerusalem. In all Judea? Yes, oh, okay. Judea, I can handle that because I know those people and I'll be able to witness there. And then go back to one word which he uses here, which they should never have known. Oh, they didn't want to hear that one. All Judea and in Samaria. Why did he have to put that in? We don't have anything to do with the Samaritans. They're people of mixed blood. They have mixed religion, synchronized religion. We don't have anything to do with them. They only believe the first 5 books of Moses. They worship on Mount Gerizim. We worship on Mount Zion. We have the true religion. Salvation is of the Jews. They are a mixed bunch, and we don't want anything to do with them. Yes, you're going to witness it. Ah, witness in Samaria? No. Prejudices are too high. This blessing is going to be greater than all prejudices. And you're going to go into all the world. That's worse. You're not only going to the half dogs, the Samaritans. You're going to go to the dogs, the Gentiles. And so they went. Marvelous that they went. All over the world the gospel spread. Why? Because they were impelled by the Holy Ghost and compelled by the great compulsion of God. God possessed them and God sent them forth to the ends of the earth with a great fullness of the Spirit flowing through them because they had been empowered and enabled and equipped and encouraged. As God said to them, you shall receive power, the Holy Ghost coming upon you. I wonder whether we have this. I wonder whether this whole convention might have been convened for this very moment. Oh, are we languishing in despondency? Oh, you who have failed him and are failing him, just as Peter and James and John and all the rest of them failed him. Are we failing him perhaps? You who are failing him, you were wistfully longing for something to happen. When, if ever, deliverance will come. Oh God, I place myself at thy disposal. Come and fill my being. Lord, have you been crying like that? You who have heard the message of this great spirit-filled life and yet persist in the shadows of gospel truths. You who lack the vitality, you who lack the freshness, the reality, and the flow of the Holy Spirit through your being. Oh, will you not heed this word tonight, this word of the Lord? You, David, you, Joe, you, Peter, you, whoever you might be, come, I'm speaking to you. You shall receive power. You, whatever you've done, however you've failed, you shall receive power. The Holy Ghost coming upon you, and you shall be witnesses. It's the divine guarantee. You shall be witnesses, and you shall go forth and witness unto him effectively. You know, this convention might have been convened for this specific moment for you. Life is made up of moments of God. Don't let this moment pass without moving to God and receiving from God now. We must receive. We must turn to him and open our hearts that which he has spoken to us might become part of us. God speaks a word and it is needed to be received and appreciated and taken. You shall receive power, the Holy Spirit coming upon you. Shall we not go equipped from this place? Shall we not say, Lord Jesus, this very night, I'm not going on any further. I'm asking thee to come and equip me for that which lies beyond these walls. I'm going back to a demon-possessed valley. I'm going back to swearing men. I'm going back to cursing people. I'm going back to blaspheming people. I'm going back to all kinds of iniquity all around me. This is a sin-soaked age, and it's in every place around me. Oh, I need thee to help me now to be the witness unto the Holy Son of God in these circumstances in which you have placed me. I'm coming to you now this very night. Come and possess me. Come, Lord, say that word to me. Say it now. You shall receive power, the Holy Spirit coming upon you. Possess me completely. Fill me utterly. Control me altogether. I yield myself to thee. That's the language that transforms, isn't it? I bring my life and I say, Lord Jesus, I give myself. I yield myself. Come and fill me now. Fill me to overflowing so that it will flow and flow and flow and others will know that God has come to this unworthy soul. Shall we bow in prayer? Heavenly Father, O thou who seest all our hearts, thou who knowest everything about us, thou who knowest our secret fears, our inward frustrations, our sorrows, thou who seest us through and through, we cannot hide from thee. We cannot put these things away and think they are not known. Thou dost see us. Thou dost know us. All things are naked and open before the eyes of him with whom we have to do. So we come. Come to me. wonder whether we'd like to pray that right now in your own heart. Lord Jesus, come to me. Equip me. Possess me. Control me. Flood my soul. I am thine. I'm bought with a price. I give myself away to thee. Even now. Mean what you say, brethren, and he will surely mean what he says. Ye shall receive power. The Holy Ghost coming upon you, and ye shall be. In all the practical ways of life, ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria, the impossible place, and unto the ends of the earth. Now I'm equipped to serve. Now I can go to the ends of the earth, for God has equipped me. We recognize, Lord, that we must be changed spiritually before we change geographically. The equipping for the mission is here. Acts 1:8. Lord, make us all missionaries. Wherever we are, make us missionaries. We each have a mission field where we go, in our home places, our hometowns. Oh, equip us, Lord. Equip every one of us. That when we go back, we shall be in the hands of God to be the witness he wants us to be. To be able to cope in the impossible conditions and to lift up Jesus. So to that end, Lord, take our lives. And control them, possessing them, filling them. Take my life right now. Oh, do it, Lord Jesus. Cleanse with thy precious blood. Fill with thy blessed spirit. Even now. Dear Lord, there are some here who can say, Lord, thank you. Thank you for coming to me. Perhaps I don't feel anything, but I'm trusting in Jesus. I'm trusting in the Holy Ghost. I'm trusting in God to bring this to fruition. This is not just an empty consecration. This is something which is going to tell for all eternity. My life is being transformed by God who possesses me now. I've given my life now. It's on the altar. Come and fill me, Lord, and send me forth as thou wouldst, where thou wouldst, to thy glory. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name.